Siobhan Chapman here. I am pleased to welcome back to our show, UBS Asset Management Monthly Macro Podcast. Each month, we hear from the top investment professionals from the UBS Asset Management Multi-Asset Team. Today, I'm pleased to introduce our speakers, Evan Brown, Portfolio Manager and Head of Multi-Asset Strategy, and Fatou Conte, Multi-Asset Investment Specialist. Fatou, with that brief introduction, I'll pass it over to you.
Thanks, Siobhan. It's only been a month since our last call, but there's definitely been a few market events that have caused some volatility. So we'll touch on this and other things, including our latest macro views, how we're positioned in the MAPS portfolio, and other things as well. So Evan, as usual, let's kick off with what's currently going on with the U.S. economy.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Fatou. And maybe I'm a bit of a broken record on these calls, but in terms of the economy, it's kind of steady as she goes. Still solid labor market, been cooling, but maybe starting to show some signs of stabilization, but overall very, very healthy job growth and overall incomes. Consumption, we had the Q4 numbers. We had the Q4 GDP at 2.3% as expected, but the consumption number was up 4.2%. That's absolutely just booming. And so U.S. consumer continues to spend, seeing some confidence measures improve on the business side, a little bit of animal spirits going and some encouraging signs on CapEx as well. So overall, economy is doing just fine. And then on the inflation front, continue to make progress. So core PCE inflation, and that's the Fed's preferred inflation measure. The 3-month and 6-month annualized are coming in at about just over 2%. And so that's where we're trending more or less at target, which is great. Even though the annual number is 2.8%, still more room for that to come down, but we will see that annual number come down in the coming months, simply because of base effects, comparing to last year's high numbers. So overall, economy looks a bit Goldilocks still, and you know, we'll take it.
Great, thanks, Evan. So Trump has really been making a lot of headlines lately, and he's hit the ground running in his first few weeks in office, passing several executive orders that had mixed responses. So at this point, what are the economic implications of Trump's policy so far, particularly on the more recent tariff policies that he's passed for Canada, Mexico, and China? And how does this change your forward-looking view on the U.S. economy?
Yeah, so in terms of the executive orders, we had a lot on the regulatory front, or deregulation, I should say, particularly on oil, and that has coincided with oil prices coming down. So I think there's just encouraging signals that you know, what Trump is saying on pushing for U.S. energy dominance and trying to make the U.S. the leading supplier of energy in the world. There's been some, you know, paring back of some of the regulations on that front, and we're seeing that come through. And if energy prices are to decline, then you know, that is a net positive for the overall U.S. economy. It's good for the consumer, good for businesses, and bringing inflation down. You know, we do have certainly more headlines on immigration and deportations, and taken to an extreme, that can be a threat in the sense that it could significantly bring down growth and lead to a tightening of the labor market and wages, putting upward pressure on wages again if it kind of goes too far from a macro point of view. But it's going to take a long time to just digest in the numbers just exactly what's happening here and see it in the economic data. So we'll wait and see on that. The most market moving stuff has been, as you said, Fatou, on the tariff front. And we of course had the big threats on Canada and Mexico. on Friday and over the weekend, and then on Monday, an extension. So there's a 1 month extension. Those tariffs are still kind of hanging over us as possible that they go through, but we're optimistic that, there should be, deals that can be made with Mexico and Canada in terms of addressing, immigration and fentanyl concerns, such that we'll be able to avoid those. The China tariffs have gone through 10% increase, but reports are that Trump will be speaking with China's Xi, and potentially get those taken off. I think there will be more kind of methodical focus on tariffs a little bit later. We've got on April 1st, the administration will be announcing a more formal plan on tariffs and how these will, will they be across the board or will they be more sector specific? Will they be kind of scaled in or all at once? Will they be used as funding for a reconciliation, tax bill? So we've got these kind of threats that fly around, when Trump is using tariffs to negotiate something on non-economic objectives, which is what we've seen here. And I think generally rule of thumb is in those cases, Trump is looking to make a deal. And that's certainly what we saw. But we will see tariffs certainly this year, and he's threatened them on Europe and probably see more on China and the like. But I think those are going to be laid out in a more methodical way. And, we'll just have to take those as they come. I think markets generally expect tariffs are coming. But I think the more kind of like phased in they are and more targeted they are, the better. And certainly the Treasury Secretary is working on that at this point with the markets and with overall inflation and growth effects in mind.
Related to China, we had some volatility in tech last week on the news of DeepSeek's AI model. And the AI model actually shows excellent performance despite a much lower cost than we've seen from U.S. leaders. So how are you thinking about this in terms of its market impact in the short and long term?
Yeah, so in the long term, for the overall market, see it as quite positive, right? If whether it's coming from China or the U.S., the idea that we're able to build these models that are really strong with less of an outright spend, that is a good thing in terms of AI adoption and the potential for greater productivity boost and helping corporate margins, right, more in a broad sense going forward. I think in the near term, certainly we've seen a lot of volatility in tech. I think what it means is essentially the AI trade is just a lot more nuanced now than it has been. It's kind of in the past just been like you could buy. Certainly last year you could buy one big semiconductor company and that was that. I think there's a little bit more questions. Okay, do we need the same scale of high-end semiconductors? And so there might be more differentiation in the semiconductor space of performance. And then in the software space, it could be seen as a good thing in terms of, okay, if you can train these models or get these models more cheaply, then you can really roll out. I'd be more aggressive at rolling out kind of applications in line with that. So, I don't know that the overall AI theme took a meaningful hit. I think it's just become more nuanced. And, from an active manager perspective, right, our stock pickers that are in our portfolios, this greater nuance and not a one-way bet of one company that's going to create a lot more opportunities for alpha generation. So that's exciting for us.
Now, the Fed held interest rates steady at the most recent FOMC meeting. What are you expecting next from them?
So they're in wait-and-see mode. It was actually one of the more boring FOMC meetings than we've had in a while. You know, we got 100 basis points of easing at the end of last year. Fed feels like it's in a good place. They still expect to be easing a couple more times this year, as well as a little bit more in 2026. But they're in a holding pattern, really, because they want to see what's going to come out of the Trump administration. What are we going to get in terms of fiscal expansion? What are we going to get in terms of tariffs? What are the effects going to be on immigration, on energy, deregulation more broadly? And they're just going to need to see what the policies are. I think it's good that the Fed is not trying to kind of preemptively react to what's happening. They're just they given where the economy is, given where inflation is, and given where rates are, they're in a good place. Hopefully, they will be able to ease further. And certainly, I think the way the economy is behaving, and most importantly, the way inflation is behaving, is pointing in the direction of further easing. But I think it's going to take a few months before they start talking about easing further. They're really going to want to see what comes out of the administration in the next few months before moving.
Awesome. Well, we covered a lot of ground today. We covered our macro views. We talked about AI, Trump, and our positioning. So thank you so much for your time, Evan. I'll let you get back to focusing on navigating the macro landscape we discussed today and delivering alpha for our clients.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.